All right, tonight's message is Unstuck Through an Attitude of Thanksgiving. This is the Thanksgiving month. On November 22nd, we will be celebrating Thanksgiving Day. And, you know, people in America have different ideas of what Thanksgiving Day is about. Some people think it's about watching the game. Some people think that Thanksgiving Day is about eating good food and turkey. Some people think that Thanksgiving Day is about hanging out with family and friends. But we as followers of Jesus Christ know what the true reason for Thanksgiving Day is, right? Thanksgiving Day is a day to give God thanks for His manifold blessings in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
On November 22nd, Thanksgiving Day, I encourage you to think about something that you're thankful to God for and voice it to God. You might think of two or three things that you're thankful to God about. Maybe the breath in your lungs, Jesus, eternal life. And on Thanksgiving Day, voice your thanks to God. But the truth is, we need to give God thanks for His blessings on a daily basis. It's good to give God thanks on Thanksgiving Day, but we need to be living in an attitude with an attitude of thanksgiving to God on a daily basis, 7 days a week. You know, thanksgiving, an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of thanksgiving on a daily basis is good for you. There was a study done, something published in USA Today, I believe it was in 2008. It's called Your Health. Giving thanks can make you healthier and happier. So I'm just going to kind of summarize this article. It was performed by two different professors at two different universities. And they studied the power of being thankful and grateful. And basically, if you live with a daily attitude of thankfulness, of gratefulness, it makes you healthier physically. If you live with an attitude of thanksgiving on a daily basis, you feel less stress and depression. If you live with an attitude of thanksgiving on a daily basis, you're more optimistic about life. Practicing thanksgiving, gratefulness on a daily basis is very good for you emotionally. It's a good thing. So we need to practice thanksgiving daily towards God. It's good for us. Amen? So right now, here tonight, let's think about something good that God has done for us. Something good that God has done for you. And I want to take a few responses in the room here tonight. Think of something good, one or two words of something good God has done for you recently that you want to voice to Him tonight in the midst of us. Anybody in the room here tonight? Yes, ma'am. That's right.
I thank Him for keeping me in my car, for me being out here. Because every day I get up, I realize that sometimes I'm going to be here. I realize that this is what Jesus went through.
That's right.
He went through all this for us, and so I have no interest in depression. Because I know He's going to keep me through it.
That's a woman who has a thankful attitude. That's awesome. Yes, sir. One or two words.
Life, love, and freedom.
Life, love, and freedom. Somebody else. What are you thankful to God about?
John 3:16.
The shelter here, John 3:16. Yes, sir.
Deliverance out of
meth addiction. Yes, sir.
Church.
Those are good responses. That's awesome. I've got a little thing I'd like to read from the speaker's quote book on Thanksgiving. It's a prayer, and it was this. Oh, precious Father, as we bow before Thy throne today, we count the many blessings Thou hast showed on our way. The comfort of our humble homes, our health and happiness, the strength provided for each day to meet the strain and stress. We thank You for Thy precious Son who brought salvation free, and for this mighty land of ours, a land of liberty. So, Lord, help us give Thee thanks for all that we hold dear, not only on Thanksgiving Day, but each day of the year. Practicing thanksgiving towards God on a daily basis now. You know, it's easy to give God thanks when life is going well. Maybe you've got a job and you're making money and you make enough money to pay the bills and then save some. Maybe you've received a good bill of health and you're like, God, thank God for this good bill of health. Maybe your human relationships are going well. Maybe people like you. Maybe deep down on the inside you've got peace. You've got joy. You feel lifted up on the inside. You're not going through depression. So maybe life is going well for you. And it's easy to give God thanks when life is going well. How many would agree here tonight? It's easier to give God thanks when things are going well in life. But it's not so easy to give God thanks when life is not going so well. But guess what? We're still to remain in an attitude of thanksgiving towards God when life gets tough, just like this lady here testified. Let me say it again. We still need to remain in an attitude of thanksgiving towards God when life gets tough. It's easy to give thanks when life is going good, but it's hard to give thanks when life is going tough. But we need to do so. Paul writes to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Give thanks in all circumstances." What does all mean? All means all. Give thanks in all circumstances. In other words, give thanks when life is going well, and give thanks when life is going bad. Give thanks when life is going really good, and give thanks when life becomes tough. In all situations, in all circumstances, give thanks to God. Amen? That's exactly what Paul and Silas did in Acts chapter 16. I referenced Acts 16 the last time I preached it, but we're going to turn to Acts 16, verse 16. Paul and Silas, they were in Philippi. And it says, "Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling." Verse 17 of Acts 16. "This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, 'These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved.' She kept us up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, 'In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her.' At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, 'These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice.' The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully." Verse 24. "Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, 'Don't harm yourself, we're all here.' The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They replied, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds, and immediately he and all his family were baptized." That's awesome, isn't it? So, what does Paul write in 1 Thessalonians 5:18? As I just said a few minutes ago, be thankful in all circumstances, when life is good and when life is rough. Did life get tough for Paul and Silas in Philippi? The account we just read in Acts 16? Did life get tough, rough, hard for Paul and Silas in Philippi? Of course! They were thrown into prison because Paul, in Jesus' name, cast a spirit out of a fortune teller. And in the midst of being in prison with feet chained to stocks, maybe heavy blocks of wood, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns and praises to God. They found themselves in prison, in a rough, really rough place. Their feet were fastened in the stocks. It was uncomfortable. It was rough. They were going through persecution for the gospel's sake. They were going through hardship for the gospel's sake. But in the midst of their prison experience, what were they doing? It said that they were praying and singing hymns, singing praises to God. Isn't that awesome? Imagine that. They're in prison. It's tough. Their feet are chained up and they're singing praises to God. They were in an attitude of thanksgiving when life got tough. They were in an attitude of thanksgiving when life got tough. They could have complained. They could have been complaining, but they chose to praise God instead. They chose to thank God instead while in prison and their feet all chained up. They could have complained. If it were me, I don't know about you, but if it were me, I might have been complaining. I might have been like, God, I just preached your gospel. God, somebody was just set free from a bad spirit. God, I was doing your work and here I am in prison? This is tough, God. I might have been complaining. I don't know about you. But I can see Paul saying, even though I'm in prison, God, I could just see him saying, God, even though I'm in this prison, as he's praying to God, as he's singing hymns, God, even though I am stuck here in this prison and my feet are all chained up, God, I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. God, I thank you that you have given me the opportunity to preach your son, Jesus Christ, to the lost. God, I thank you. I thank you that you will deliver me from this prison because you are a miracle-working God. And in the midst of that prayer, in the midst of that praising God, what happened? There was an earthquake and the prison doors flew open and the chains came off. The chains were loosened from their feet. Isn't that awesome? Now, as they were praising God in the midst of their hardship, Paul and Silas, the miracle-working power of God went into effect. The prison doors flew open, and the chains came loose. Isn't that awesome? He wrote to the Thessalonians. He said, be thankful in all circumstances. You see, their attitude, Paul and Silas's attitude of thanks in the midst of hardship, was the key that unlocked the door to their deliverance. Let me say that again. Their attitude of thanks in the midst of hardship, in the midst of prison, in the midst of these chains on their feet, was the key that unlocked the door to their deliverance. You see, your attitude of thanks when life gets hard is an expression of your faith in God's ability to do a miracle in your life. How many here have faith in God? It says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. To me that says that with faith it is possible to please God. Your attitude of thanks, your attitude of praise to God in the midst of your prison experience, in the midst of your hard experience, is your expression of faith in the ability of God to set you free from bondage and chains and receive the miracle you've been believing God for. Is that good news here tonight? Say it with me. My attitude of thanks and praise when life gets hard is an expression of my faith in God's ability to do a miracle in my life in Jesus' name. And so maybe the hardship you're experiencing tonight maybe is a bad medical health diagnosis. Maybe you've been diagnosed with a bad disease, but in the midst of that hardship, you can sing praises to God. And you can say, God, your word says that you are the healer. God, I thank you that you can heal any disease. God, you have got my back. God, I love you. God, you are faithful. That attitude of thanks is an expression of your faith in the ability of God to do a miracle in your life. Maybe you're financially lacking here tonight. Maybe you're financially lacking. But in the midst of that financial lack, you could be praising God. You can be giving God thanks and singing hymns to God and saying, God, you are Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides for all of our needs. God, there is nothing impossible for you. All things are possible for those who believe in you, God. God, I know that you've got my back, even though that I'm financially struggling right now. It's really hard financially. God, I thank you that your provision financially for my life is right around the corner. And friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that if you thank God like that, you praise Him in the midst of that hardship, His miracle working power is able to go into effect in your life. Could you say amen here tonight?
Amen.
You might find yourself tonight in a cave of depression, but you say to yourself, God, you are the joy of my life. The joy of the Lord is my strength. God, I thank you. I know that you are able to pull me out of this cave of depression so that I can soar like an eagle with you, God. And as you sing God praises, as you give God thanks in the midst of that cave of depression, God can do a miracle in your life. God can set you free. God can rescue you. God is looking for an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of thanksgiving when life is going bad, when life gets tough, so that you can experience the miracle working power of God in your life. Remember, your attitude of gratitude towards God, your attitude of thanksgiving toward God is an expression of your faith in God's ability to do that miracle in your life. Amen?
Amen?
So, we turn back to Acts chapter 16. And they were praising God, Paul and Silas. They were praying, they were praising God, they were singing hymns to God. There was an earthquake. The foundations of the prison were shaking. At once, all of the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. I want you to hear that tonight. Everybody's chains came loose. Everybody means what? It means everybody. It means every prisoner there that night. Paul and Silas's chains came loose. And the chains on the feet of every other prisoner came loose that night. You know, the good news is that when you praise God in the midst of hard times and He does a miracle in your life, His miracle working power can flow from your life into the lives of others. It says that the chains fell off of everybody, were loosened off of everybody that night. When you praise God, you give Him thanks in the midst of hard times, and He does a miracle in your life and sets you free and provides for you and removes that disease. He's doing a miracle in your life. His miracle working power is flowing through your life to touch others around you as well. The Word of God says in Mark chapter 16, you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You might be thinking, me? I can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover? Yes, you. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you can lay hands on the sick and pray in the name of Jesus Christ and they can recover. You're not on this earth to just take up space. You're not on this earth to just exist. God has got a plan for your life. He wants to show real His miracle working power in your life, in your tough situation. But He also wants that miracle working power that He's going to bring into your life to flow into the lives of others around you. Is that good news here tonight? It says everybody's. It doesn't say in the scripture that just Paul and Silas's chains came loose. It said that everybody's, every prisoner's chains came loose. God wants to touch the people around you with His miracle working power. You can pray for the sick and they can be healed. You can speak a word of encouragement to somebody who is depressed and that person can come out of the cave of depression. God can bless you financially so that you can help somebody else who has a lot less than you financially. Amen? God wants to flow His power, His ministry, through your life. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, God can do it. Let's just turn to Mark chapter 16. It's in the scripture, Mark chapter 16. What does Jesus say? Mark 16, 17. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. In the name of Jesus you can pray for somebody and they can be delivered from demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. And these signs will accompany those who believe. Believe in Jesus Christ. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Has God done a miracle in your life? When the miracle-working power of God becomes real in your life, it can flow out of your life and touch others around you that also need miracles. And if we go back to Acts chapter 16, the jailer. Jailer called for the lights. Acts 16, 29. Rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" This jailer and his family were spiritually bound. They had spiritual chains around their lives. They might have been bound to sin. And because they saw the miracle-working power of God at work in Paul and Silas' life, he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds, and then immediately he and all his family were baptized. So the good news here tonight is this. You're going to meet people in your life that are spiritually bound. Bound to sin in their lives. But they'll see God in your life. They'll see the miracle-working power of God at work in your life. And they're going to say, "There's something different about you. I want the God that you have. I want to serve the Jesus who set you free. What must I do to be saved?" And right then and there, you can share the gospel with them. You can pray a prayer of salvation with them. Amen?
Yeah.
But friends, you've got to remain in this attitude of thanksgiving, this attitude of gratitude on a daily basis toward God. Is that good news here tonight? Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks to God when life is good.
And bad.
And give thanks to God when life is bad. And when life is bad for you and you're giving God thanks as an expression of your faith in God's ability to deliver you, God can do a miracle in your life. Not only in your life, but in the lives of those in your spheres of influence. Amen?
Amen.
Are you going to put this word to action this week and for the rest of your life? Find one or two things every day that you can thank God for. God, I thank you for your son, Jesus. God, I thank you for the gift of eternal life. God, I thank you that you've created this world. God, I thank you that you've placed me on this earth with a purpose. God, I thank you for John 3:16. God, I thank you that I'm fed a meal here every night. God, I thank you that every night we can pull something out of your word. God, I thank you that I can read your word in this nation without being thrown into prison like in some other nations. There's something on a daily basis you can thank God for. God, I thank you for the breath that you've given me in my life. Amen?
Amen.
Are we going to start practicing that this week? Every day and for the weeks to come and for the months to come, not just on Thanksgiving Day, but every day of our lives giving thanks to God in the good and in the bad. Amen?